Brady and Gronk are working out together again. We discuss if that is a good sign for Bucs fans. How does the depth at wide receiver stack up for the Buccaneers? And the NFL is looking into making changes to the Pro Bowl. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, rejoined by my buddy Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay. You can check out all my written work over at BucsNation.com. And of course, you can check out Evan there on 10 Tampa Bay and follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at JRCO underscore Bucs, and E Klosky WTSP. Evan, it's good to be back with you, buddy. The Lightning threw a little wrench into our scheduling, but that's okay because they swept the Panthers and are moving on to face a team that they're going to beat on their way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it's going to go, right? Unbelievable. This is, think about where the Lightning were when they were down 3-2 against the Maple Leafs and have just rattled off six straight wins. And Andre Vasilevsky looks like the greatest player ever, which is, you know, what we're kind of used to come playoff time.
Yeah, pretty much. Last thing I'll say about hockey before we talk about the Buccaneers is Sean McAdoo had a phenomenal tweet. He's a big Maple Leafs fan. He's also one of the hosts of the Puck Soup podcast. And he tweeted out, the Lightning tried out the whole facing elimination thing, decided they don't like it, and are just going to mow their way through the playoffs on their way to their third Stanley Cup. So,
yeah, we'll have a fun dynasty talk when this thing is over, regardless of whether they win the cup or not. But if they win it, then it's pretty much set in stone. They get the capital D.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of dynasties, two major parts of a dynasty in Boston who are now in Tampa. Well, one of them's in Tampa. The other one is also in Tampa, but not doing anything but partying and gronking up life. Tom Brady released a video on social media of himself and Rob Gronkowski working out together, but they were playing baseball. So, Evan, they're out and about with one another. Yep. They're having some fun along with Brady's trainer. Is this a positive sign for Buccaneers fans that Gronk is getting close to returning? I find it hard to believe that the two of them would be out there with one another and Brady is not in his ear saying, all right, dude, enough's enough. Get your butt back in the building. Let's go win ourselves another Lombardi.
Yeah, I tend to believe this is a very good signal. I think this is probably the strongest signal that we have gotten this entire offseason. I mean, you know, you've heard me say it. You've heard anybody who's covered the Bucs say it. Anybody who's a casual fan has probably said it too. We believe that Rob Gronkowski will be back in 2022, especially for what we're assuming is Tom Brady's actual last ride. I have a really tough time imagining that Gronk isn't going to help his buddy out one last go, figure this thing out. But the fact that we get to see Gronk on that Yankees complex field where Brady has held wide receiver drills and practices before has to be an amazing sign. And you have to assume that he didn't just call up his buddy Gronk to play a little baseball, right? Like that wasn't the sole focus of that trip to the field. So what we've been saying for a while now and what we assume, and nobody can confirm it, but our belief is that Rob Gronkowski is just delaying the inevitable because he does not want to participate in OTAs and mandatory minicamp, the boring stuff. He doesn't want to be there for that. This is a guy that before his injury would take off every Friday at practice as well. He would only practice 2 days a week, you know? So look, Bucs don't care. We don't need you here, right? Like, you know, they don't even need Brady there, but Brady's gonna show up when it comes mandatory, and he's even done the voluntary stuff. Yeah, this is it's tough not to believe this isn't a very good sign.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think Brady's probably in his ear, and you could say, you know, well, they're friends, they're hanging out, they're having a good time. Yeah, that's true. And I realize that Brady's a little more loosey-goosey and open with his personality and the social media and everything. But this isn't something we really saw when Gronk retired the first time. You didn't really see them hanging out outside of football. You know, this isn't the norm for them, so to speak. So I'm with you. I think this was, you know, it was a little teaser. And Gronk is closer to returning than not. Nothing's done till the ink is on the paper, right?
Correct.
But you would think that this is a gigantic leap forward in the right direction compared to all the other Gronk type things that we've talked about on this show, whether it's him commenting that he'll be wearing a Leonard Fournette jersey in the stands or you know, anything like that. So I take it as a positive sign. Hopefully this saga comes to an end sooner rather than later, because it seems like we have to dissect every single thing that Gronk does. And, you know, is he coming back? Is he leaning towards retirement? What is he doing? And I think this was a really, really good sign.
Yeah. And let me remind people too, whatever you see on social media with Gronk and those interactions, I really do think that Rob Gronkowski is enjoying the attention that he gets for saying things. And I guess the point I'm trying to say is he loves eliciting reactions based on innocuous comments. Like the Leonard Fournette thing is a little less innocuous, but he enjoys knowing that when he sends that message on Instagram or that tweet, it's going to get people like, oh my God, is he doing this? Is he doing that? And he's just there like, man, just run wild with it. You're overthinking it. So I think we know where this is heading. I'm not trying to jinx it, but love seeing that.
You're not saying, you're just saying.
Exactly. Don't roll the tape back if he doesn't show up. I left the modifier out there, okay? It's not 100%. Never said it was 100%, but we are moving towards a good direction.
All right. Well, some of the players that the Buccaneers do have the building in that wide receiver group, we are going to discuss exactly how deep of a position group that is. We had a YouTube commenter yesterday who doesn't think that it's very good, so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, our next product is one I use regularly, and it has me feeling as good as I can remember. For someone who has a weird daily schedule like I do, AG1 has everything I need to feel my best at all times. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is so important to add in all year long, especially in the winter months when you're not getting as much sunlight. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, which is why I take it. It supports mental clarity and alertness. It's one thing with the best things. AG1 uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system to convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water. Maybe mix in a little bit of pineapple juice. I know David likes to do that every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills, supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Segment two here, and we thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. Evan, David, and I went live last night before the Lightning game, and we were taking questions in segment three. And right at the very end, as we were doing the outro, we saw a question pop up, so obviously didn't have time to get to it, but told him in the chat I was going to address it with him today. I'm glad you're here to address it as well. And he's concerned about the depth at wide receiver. And we know last year they weren't as deep as we thought they were at the position. And now heading into 2022, we know that there's no set timetable on Chris Godwin right now. You have Mike Evans and Russell Gage there to be the 1-2 punch if Godwin can't go to start the year. Once he returns, though, your wide receivers three on are Russell Gage, Tyler Johnson, Breshad Perriman, Scotty Miller, Cyril Grayson, and Jalen Darden. That's how it stands right now. There are some undrafted rookies who have an opportunity to potentially make this roster, to unseat some players and really make a name for themselves. Again, as this viewer phrased it in the chat, wide receiver three through six are bad. I don't think that's the case, but I'd like to get your thoughts on the position group first.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say three through six is bad when you just got Russell Gage as your wide receiver three. Yes, it's not going to be a fun time with Chris Godwin out, right? That's ultimately going to change the offense to a degree. That's where you're going to lean on pass catchers in the backfield. That's where you're going to lean on, let's say, Rob Gronkowski, referring to the first segment. And you still have Mike Evans and a bunch of the names you listed there. I think last year the Bucs did not – part of the reason why they weren't able to pull off the repeat was they had too many injuries on the offensive side of the ball. And I want to know, as a point of reference, how many teams are wide receiver 4 through 7 stacked? You know, like, just saying that Russell Gage is bad, unless you are ignoring Russell Gage because he's 2 with Godwin out, then, you know, I'll soften up the stance. But the idea that Russell Gage is bad is just a complete lie, especially coming into this offense where he's not even going to have to do as much as he was doing sort of towards the end of that year when the Falcons didn't have the usual supporting cast that would help him out a lot. So you have Godwin, you have Evans, you have Russell Gage. You hope you have Leonard Fournette healthy for every game, which is – part of your passing offense. You hope you have Rob Gronkowski back at tight end. That's a pretty formidable lineup. I mean, and then when you talk about the depth beyond that, Tyler Johnson is probably the one guy I need to see step up. Like, he disappointed me mightily last year. He's a guy that really needs to step into that wide receiver 4 role. And now you're kind of wondering if that's Breshad Perriman's job. I would also like to see Scotty Miller healthy this year. You know, he took a huge step back last season, but according to Byron Leftwich, he says that we on the outside kind of devalue that turf toe injury and that it really hampered him throughout the entire year. And when he came back, he was a step behind everybody else, and it really just hurt his progression. But they've leaned on him in the past, and he's been widely successful. I mean, every Bucs fan knows the couple of big moments he's had in his career in Tampa Bay, number one, of course, being in Green Bay. And you figure Cyril Grayson, he's only been progressing. If you take – I mean, he got injured towards the end there – but remember all the love we were giving Cyril Grayson towards the end of that season last year, of how much damage he was doing and the progressions he made and his ability to block. And he's been such a developmental project coming as a track star into the National Football League and gaining confidence to understand, you know, the ins and outs of what a receiver does. And now that speed is starting to match with, you know, his mind and how he can kind of slow the game down. So it's not, I'm not here to tell you that, you know, Scotty Miller and Breshad Perriman and Tyler Johnson and Jalen Darden, you know, are tremendous assets, and they can lead a team to the Super Bowl. Of course not, but they're depth pieces. They're there to plug and play, hopefully for a few weeks here and there, get a few snaps in there, give you guys a blow, and then get the starters out there. You know, you cannot invest in all, like, you can't just be like seven wide receivers deep and invest in that position so heavily to the point where it's going to affect all the other positions. And, you know, we'll see if some undrafted rookie can make the roster and surprise us all. But I'm not as concerned with the wide receiver depth. I'd be way more concerned with the fact Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are out long term come the end of the season. If that's the case, and if that is the case, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Every team has that problem. Like, you know, if the Packers lost Davante Adams last year, they'd be screwed, right? But he was healthy. So, I mean, it just – everybody has this – everybody would love to have, like, four wide receivers deep and run four verts. But it's not how – that's not how the National Football League works, because when you're good and you're that low on the depth chart, you're going to move somewhere else who's going to pay you some money to be up on the depth chart. So I'm really happy with what the Buccaneers have. They have a lot of experience, guys who have had big moments on the field. And let's hope that they don't have to be used heavily come playoff time.
Yeah, I'm – pleased with the depth, and as you pointed out, a lot of that depth got hurt in addition to your top guys.
You're right. Yeah,
so you have Antonio Brown go down, you have
didn't even mention him, but yeah,
right, you know, he misses extended time. You have Chris Godwin was dealing with things before the ACL tear, and so you're dealing with all of those issues, and you bring back Breshad Perriman and Tyler Johnson disappointed. He kind of disappeared. David and I talked about that on yesterday's episode. You have Scotty Miller, who's hurt. You have, you know, you had
Grayson gets hurt.
Yeah. You have injuries after injuries after injuries.
Go to that Saints game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when you look at it that way, you know, the depth hurt because the depth was hurt. So you head into this season, and I took a look at some of the better wide receiver cores around the NFL. And there's really only one other team that I could find where their wide receivers 3 through 6 stack up as good, maybe better than what Tampa's has. And that's, of course, the New Orleans Saints. Go figure. But you take a look, I mean, their top guys, you have Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry.
I'm assuming Michael Thomas can play a snap, right?
Right. But he's in the building now. He's in building. So assuming Thomas is healthy, you have Thomas and Landry as your top two. Then you got Chris Olave, you got Marquez Callaway, you got Tre'Quan Smith, you got Deonte Hardy. I mean, those guys can ball. So you take a look at their depth versus the Bucs' depth. I'll take the Bucs' top two over the Saints' top two. But when you take a look at 3, 4, 5, and 6, that's a pretty tight matchup. So you're right. No team is going to have 7 Pro Bowlers from wide receiver 1 down to wide receiver 7. And that's why you have Gronk. That's why, well, maybe you have Gronk. That's why you have, you know, Cameron Brate, and you drafted Cade Otton. And that's why you have Leonard Fournette, and you drafted Rashad White, and you have Gio Bernard, and you have Keyshawn Vaughn. You have these other receiving options that you can go to. It's so, not all of the pressure is on Brady to get the ball to the receivers. He has other weapons. He has other choices. And it's going to free other things up for these other players to make plays. And kind of like you said, you lose Mike Evans, you lose Chris Godwin. If you're starting wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2 are Breshad Perriman and Tyler Johnson, things probably went wrong along the way, and you're probably not in contention for a title anymore anyway.
And that's really the story of the 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just, they were a team. They were a Super Bowl caliber winning team. And they just could not get rid of the injury bug. Bruce Arians talked about it at the very beginning of the year. You need a little bit of luck with your skill, and injury luck is what he's talking about. And if you can stay healthy, we can win this thing. But they did not stay healthy. It's an uncontrollable. It's just something that you can't deal with. And, you know, I don't even know what we're complaining about. How many yards did they throw for last year?
All of them. They all of the yards.
Yeah, all of the yards. So that was not the issue, you know. Even part of the issue was Tristan Wirfs got hurt. And, I think it showcased how little depth they had at tackle. So I don't know. I'm not worried about the wide receiver depth. And the depth is there to fill in on week-to-week basis, not for a whole season. And if we get to the whole season, as you mentioned, welp, what are you going to do?
Well, some football fans may be getting their wish when it comes to the Pro Bowl. We are going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next year's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks. Evan is at @EKloskyWTSP. Follow my regular co-host David at @DHarrison82. And Evan, the NFL is considering changing the Pro Bowl. Roger Goodell was asked about it when he spoke to the media on Tuesday, and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport tweeted out, quote, "The NFL is discussing the Pro Bowl week and ways to improve it, including possibly eliminating the traditional game and using that Sunday to showcase the players in it," end quote. For years and years and years and years and years and years and years, people love to complain about the Pro Bowl. How boring the Pro Bowl is. Why are they even playing it? Why are you watching it if you're just going to complain about it? And if it's that bad, why does it still beat the NBA playoffs in the ratings?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you complain. You complain about it, but you're complaining because you're watching it.
Right.
You know, and football is king. Will always be king.
Yeah, even when it's not a real game, it still dominates all the other sports in the ratings.
And so, you love the Buccaneers, but you're complaining sometimes when those games go south.
Yeah, but we have to watch those games.
And it's a real football game.
We are here to help Roger Goodell. We are here to help the National Football League. We are here to decide what should replace the traditional game and be put in its place to showcase these players on Pro Bowl Sunday. So, Evan, what you got? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen ideas out there for like a 7-on-7 type tournament, which I think wouldn't be the worst idea. It's sort of like what hockey does with the 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And it really condenses thing, high-paced action. Obviously, 7-on-7, you're not tackling, and you can just allow the guys to go out there and play. You know, the biggest fear for these players in a sport like football is getting injured. It is a physical sport. And the days of Sean Taylor jacking up a punter in the Pro Bowl are just over. I mean, there's just, you know, those days are gone. For good or for bad, whether you agree or disagree, whether you say we've gone soft or not, it just, that is the way it is. So I think the best thing for the National Football League to do is to try to not play a game, per se, like an actual football game, because that's where the complaining comes from. We expect this product and we get this crappy product, right? So I love skills challenges. Mm-hmm. I watch the skills challenges in all sports, right? Baseball, hockey, you know, hockey, they do a great job. They, you know, you score a goal and you have to do some sort of act with it, whatever it might be, that showcases their personality. It's a great way to get clicks on social media and to really allow personalities to elevate in these circumstances. The NFL does some of that already on the first day of coverage with the dodgeball and, you know, a cornerback trying to stop a quarterback from hitting certain, you know, buckets. And you should probably just do a series of skills competitions over 2 days and NFC versus AFC or whatever, have a draft of players. I don't care. And just make it all of these different competitions, and everybody in the Pro Bowl participates in one of the competitions. They have to sell 2 days of coverage. So it has to be X amount of competitions. One of those can be 7-on-7 with the most points allocated for it. And you can have different things allocated. You know, we see the 40-yard dash. We see all these things. You know, you can create a pentathlon. I don't know. But that, I think, is the winning formula. You know, you can have the offensive line do an eating contest. I don't care. It just needs to be a series of challenges, which are some are fun, off the wall, funny, actual football, and mix it all together, because that way you can get your best stars involved somehow, that we can watch maybe Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Pat Mahomes or somebody out there competing in something that they're actually like going all out in. And it could be going all out in dodgeball. I don't care. But, you know, the skills competition this time around was like literally 15 people all rotating in the same, you know, they pretty much say, hey, if this is your first or second one, you're probably going to do all the skills competition stuff. And we'll see you tomorrow. Especially that happened because it was in Vegas this past year. And, you know, they're gonna enjoy their Saturday night out. So that's my solution. And I think the more games you've been in, the more times you've been elected to the Pro Bowl, you have first dibs in the competition that you compete in with the window of time you compete in it. So that's also the bigger incentive, is allowing the players to earn that sort of, you know, clout, that the more times you do it, the easier it gets for you doing the event. You can get you can try to get a couple, you know, if they got kids, you can create maybe, you know, 3v3, you know, have their kids square off in a competition. I don't know. I'm going way outside the box. This would have to be a long conversation. I would love to do this in a live segment and hear some ideas and kind of comment off of that. But I think that's the winning formula.
I'm with you to an extent. I say don't break the skills competition up over 2 days. You move the skills competition to Sunday to replace the game, because I went even further outside the box. And so the Saturday where the skills competition would usually be broadcast, I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
First and foremost, we're doing America's Got Talent. I want to see what these players can do that is nothing to do with football. We got a panel of judges, Rich Eisen, Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, you even got the judges.
Nate Burleson. And just because you have to have someone there that hates everybody and everything, we have Rodney Harrison. So I want to see what these hidden talents are that players have. Or, like the NHL All-Star Game, we're going to break the Pro Bowl teams up into divisions. And your divisions are now going to compete in game night. So we're going to have a family feud tournament of, you start with the NFC North versus the NFC South, and then the NFC East versus the NFC West, and same for the AFC, until it comes down to the NFC versus the AFC, or, and I'm showing my age with this one because I'm sure we have listeners and viewers that will have no idea what I'm talking about. You have these playoff slime cannon games on Nickelodeon. give me Pro Bowl Double Dare.
Yeah, it's really funny. I actually thought of Double Dare. I really did. That was I was gonna say like Double Dare like competitions, but you know, but yeah, I mean we're on the same page. Just it, look, the game sucks. It sucks. It's not football. So let's have fun with it. Screw the game, and in somewhere in there, make a 7-on-7 competition, and that will be the star of everything.
I would even say for the 7-on-7. No player is allowed to play their normal position. If you're a quarterback, you are not allowed to throw the football in a 7-on-7. Let's really have some fun with it. Maybe offensive players have to play defense. Defensive players have to play offense. Shake it up. Mix it up. Have some fun. But if you want to get away from the traditional game, which I get, you're going to bring in more viewers if you just have fun. Showcase these players as people. Let them show their sense of humor. Let them show a different side of themselves rather than big, tough football player, right? So, yeah, I'm all for like a 7-on-7 flag tournament. I don't even care. But then throw out some stipulations. You can't play your natural position or you have to play on the opposite side of the football. You know, all offensive linemen on one team, all defensive linemen on one team, and just really have fun with it. So I'll be interested to see what they do. When I tweet this out on Wednesday, I'm going to tag the NFL and be like, hey, NFL, Roger Goodell, we fixed your Pro Bowl issue. We got you. Here's all your ideas.
I'm very curious to hear what people out there have to say. I want to hear your ideas.
All right. Well, and of course, you can do that by sending us an email or a voicemail. The email is lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Voicemail line is 813-444-5841. So let us know what you think of our ideas and let us know what your ideas are. That'll really help David out on his solo show tomorrow. As you can tell, we are wrapping things up here and we thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen every day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops and neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts, including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, Tony Wiggins, and local Locked On NFL hosts ripping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for the real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Check out everything I'm doing over at BucksNation.com. Check out everything David is doing at BucksGameDay.com. Check out everything Evan is doing over at 10TampaBay.com. And, of course, on 10 Tampa Bay, plenty of Bucks, Rays, and, of course, soon to be three-time Stanley Cup champion, three-peat champion, Tampa Bay Lightning over there on 10 Tampa Bay. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at EKlosky WTSP. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, fire those cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.